Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. We're about to get you set for tonight's East-West Shrine Game. It takes place this evening at AT&T Stadium with some of the finest draft prospects and college football stars in the land. Big part of the offseason process, getting to this, getting to your Senior Bowl. And Eric Galco is the director of football ops and personnel for the Shrine Bowl. He's going to join you here in just a minute on your home of the Cowboys. General at your service, there's Brian Broaddus, of course. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup as we near the halfway point, going all the way till 7 o'clock. Of course, Woolchuck and Chia Follower in the house. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And we have David Hellman, NFL on Fox, joining us coming up at 6 o'clock. And get his thoughts on where the Cowboys have been and where they're going. I can't wait for free agency. You know, my mind's on free agency and what their approach might look like, considering they're going to be able to free up cap space. They have the Micah Parsons thing. But if you want to, you know, be competitive next year, certainly you can't put all your eggs in a draft basket. I would hope not anyway. But that might be where things are heading. Okay, so joining us now, Eric Galco, Director of Football Ops, Player Personnel for the Shrine Bowl here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Eric. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great, guys. We have game time here in a little under 3 hours.
Yeah, what are the fans in there in for tonight with this game? Can you give us the pitch?
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be players from all over the country, from guys like Kyle McCord at Syracuse and members of the Colorado team under Deion Sanders to small school players all playing together. On Thursday Night Football on NFL Network, and a chance for these players to impress NFL teams and finish off their career. You know, just a couple of short years ago, quarterback like Brock Purdy played in the Shrine Bowl, or Isaiah Pacheco, and made a name for themselves and end up having great NFL careers. So excited to have fans in the stadium as well as people on TV on NFL Network at 7 p.m. Central Time get a chance to really enjoy this.
Hey, Erica, congratulations on really doing a fine job with your roster. Really enjoyed the coverage and following along and with Zach and those guys as well, and Vach Lombardi, guys I've worked with. But I was going to ask you though: was there something of a surprise player that off the roster that you kind of said, man, maybe he was the last guy you added, but he kind of had that type of exposure to the scouts and stuff that you're like you're pretty proud about him and what he's been able to do.
Yeah, well, hey, all these guys are tied for first in my mind. Sure. They're all my kids this week at the Shrine Bowl. But I think a couple of guys went from, you know, guys that were going to be draft picks, maybe mid-round picks of Rosen to day two of the draft or even any earlier. Jordan Phillips at University of Maryland at D-tackle, yeah. Who's incredibly impressive on and off the field. They had a great week of practice. Chris Paul at Ole Miss, a linebacker, had a great week of practice. He might nudge his way to the top 40, 50 picks. And then a receiver like Efton Chisholm, who was one of the guys that we added close to the event. Slot right. Receiver from Eastern Washington will remind NFL scouts a little bit of Cooper Kupp, but had a fantastic week of practice all week long. So I think no doubt those are three guys that jump out to me as far as being great players all week long.
Eric, what do you think about these quarterbacks, man? I was pretty impressed with Kyle McCord out of Syracuse. We were fortunate enough to have him mic'd up at parts during the Lights Out Sports TV broadcast of the practice. It seemed like these quarterbacks were weirdly with the accuracy. I was impressed with the group you put together.
Yeah, it's a great group, and it's a mix of guys like Kyle McCord, who might be an early-round draft pick, guys like Max Brosmer from Minnesota, might be a mid-round draft pick, and then a lot of guys hoping to fight for a chance in that Brock Purdy territory. But I think we've got six guys on our quarterback roster, along with Shedeur Sanders, who was there throughout the week of practice on the sidelines. Really a chance for the NFL teams to see these guys as, hey, if they're starters or long-term backups or guys that can challenge in the NFL camp. Like I said, we've seen guys like Brock Purdy and Aiden O'Connell and Dorian Thompson-Robinson get drafted on day three from the Shrine Bowl the last couple of years and have great NFL careers so far. So I think we'll know, you know, I think Kyle McCord and Max Frost might be the guys NFL teams are most intrigued to watch, but anything can happen on game night here for the Shrine Bowl.
Talk about it being the 100 years and where this game's been, what it's meant for the football community over the last century.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, 1925 was the first year of this game. It's the second oldest bowl game of all time, only behind the Rose Bowl. And I think it's a testament to how this event has been so special, not just to the players and the NFL ecosystem and college football, but also to Shriners Children's and all the great work the Shriners Hospital does year-round internationally for people and patients, regardless of ability to pay. I think it's always really impressive these players kind of see that. You know, last night we had our media day, which is our banquet, which our players get a chance to kind of hang out with our patients and see what they go through and really get to know them a lot too. And these players, after a long week of practice on the field and interview rooms, NFL teams, to see kind of what they're playing for and how the Patriots really benefit from their presence and their name, image, and likeness, I think is always really impressive for these guys to see. And the fact that I'm a small part of this over the last 100 years is pretty special.
How much do you think the eyeball and attention was with the prime factor of all of this? Having Shador, having Shiloh, of course, Deion was there at practice. Did you notice any more eyeballs on the Shrine Bowl due to that?
Yeah, for sure. Guys like Deion Sanders always bring eyeballs, and certainly guys like Shador Sanders, who maybe is or will be one of the first, if not the first overall pick in this year's draft. That's earned a lot of attention, too, and that's a good thing. A lot of NFL scouts are going to be there and NFL personnel are going to be there regardless because of our talent. But, you know, that's one of the benefits and something that's really special about Shador Sanders and even his father, Coach Prime, is the fact that they know that their presence creates opportunities for others. And the chance for sure during media sessions to talk about Shiloh and LaJonte Wester, Will Shepard, Jimmy Horn, Cameron Tillman, Craig, all the guys in Colorado that were there, about what kind of players they were, really shows his leadership and his ability to kind of use his gravitas as a player on and off the field and help his teammates as well as, you know, be a part of the Shrine Bowl and our teammates. And he was, you know, Shador was on the sideline, but he was after practice retweeting, quote tweeting guys like Marcus Weir from Montana State and how well they play too. So I think he knows that he has a chance to really promote these players, and especially because of his presence. And I'm very thankful that, you know, Coach Prime and Shador and all these guys trusted the Shrine Bowl to be their all-star game of choice this year.
Hey, Eric, I could go all the way back to the Shrine Bowl when it was in the early 90s. We was in Palo Alto, California, one of the first ones I ever went to. And it's still one of my favorite bowl games, all-star games to get to cover. But the relationship that you have, you know, in this area to take the game, it's bounced around a little bit. But what does it mean to have it here in Dallas, Texas, in Arlington and Denton? You know, you had really kind of the whole Metroplex involved in this thing.
Yeah, really special. And it's being our 100th year, having a great facility and a great stadium really mattered to us, especially a way to highlight, you know, the 100 years of history and kick off another 100 years of the East-West Shrine Bowl. And no better place than AT&T Stadium. And I appreciate the Jones family for having us here and being great hosts for us. And not only for us, but all the NFL clubs all week long, for sure. But no doubt having a 100th year celebration in Arlington and at AT&T Stadium is a great way to kind of end the 100 years and again kick off next 100 years for us too.
Eric Galco, Director of Football Ops, Player Personnel for the Shrine Bowl with us here on The Fan. How do you go about finding a guy like Thomas Perry out of Middlebury? D3, I always love those stories of some of these guys that come from smaller schools and they're able to come to these bowl games and now everybody's able to know them on a first name basis because they're able to go up against guys like Nazir Stackhouse out of Georgia.
Yeah, it was a great rep. And hey, Shannon Sharp was talking about it on his show as well about how well Thomas Perry playing the Shrine Bowl. That was pretty awesome. But no, it's quite a couple of things. One, we work with NFL teams year round to make sure we're working together as a team and hear what they want to hear. But of course, we got a great scouting staff as well. And from scouting the Nazir Stackhouses, the Warren Brinsons of the world at Georgia, down to Thomas Perry's at Middlebury, our staff does a great job evaluating these players and realizing and doing a great job on the front end. You know, one aspect I think is really intriguing for our staff is, you know, we have the pressure to kind of be before NFL teams on a lot of these players, right? And we're kind of setting the table for NFL teams. And, you know, not every scout had been through Middlebury when we invited Thomas Perry. So they were relying on us to kind of weed out players and do that scouting on the forefront. And it's a testament to our scouting staff. It's a great job all year long, scouting players at every level to know, hey, this guy is going to be worthwhile for NFL teams to see. And I think Thomas Perry went from a very intriguing D3 player who's done a great work with Duke Manyweather and O-line masterminds to now being a legitimate draft pick and a question of how early in the draft he's going to go. So super happy for Thomas. He's got his coaches down here for the game and supporting him as well, too. But he's a great indictment of what these all-star games can matter for a player on the field.
What kind of a competition factor are we looking at tonight, Eric? We're used to all-star games where the players aren't really trying to win. What's going to be the case this evening?
Oh, no, these guys want to win. We've got our head coach, Marquise Williams, from Atlanta Falcons. He's coached in the Shrine Bowl 2 years ago. He won when he was the head coach here 2 years ago. And then Shane Bowen, current defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. He's got his team ready to go, too. So, obviously, it's in some ways an exhibition. These guys, you know, don't want to, you know, have anyone get hurt in the game. We haven't had an injury in the last 4 years, knock on wood. But
absolutely,
I think it's important for these guys to know the NFL team want to see these guys be competitive, and these guys want to win. And first, second quarter, you see a lot of good plays. But the third, fourth quarter, these coaches are calling timeouts, getting strategies, drawing up plays, and trying to win the game for sure. So it's going to be an exciting finish, I think, at AT&T Stadium tonight at 7 o'clock.
Enjoy, Eric. Congrats on the event and hitting 100 years. And we look forward to catching up with you talking football soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Senior Bowl tonight at AT&T, 7 o'clock. And it'll be, you know, really fun to see what Brian and Wolchuk and the draft community has to say about these players. But looking forward to enjoying the game tonight.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. It, like I say, go way back, like the old Blue-Gray game, the East-West Shrine game, the Hula Bowl. And these All-Star games mean a lot for these players. And you know, we were talking about a center from a small little school getting an opportunity to perform against on the big stage. And couldn't ask for anything better for that, for that kid and for the scouts to get to see him perform.
That's what it's all about, man. Yep. I remember 2 years ago, it was like Quinn Miners, right?
Oh, well, Ali Marpet. He went to Hobart College.
Yep.
And Ali Marpet was a second-round pick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Ali Marpet had a really nice career playing. I mean, he got banged up, got out of the game, but he was a starter for the Buccaneers from Hobart College in the NFL. And I just always remember watching the tape, and there was like a bounce house in the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, so you're watching the game, but your eyes are kind of focusing on the bounce house out there in the end zone.
I've never seen
the bounce house before out in the end zone.
That's awesome.
But they had one there at Hobart College.
Okay. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. What do you guys think of reported interest in Luka Doncic coming out of Miami? Okay. According to Miami Herald's Barry Jackson and Anthony Chang, source relayed to them the Heat have been avoiding taking on non-All-Star players whose contracts don't expire before the 25-26 season. So this is one of the added pieces of info that might be coming out of the Miami negotiations. They try to trade Jimmy Butler away. What's being reported is they're not trying to take on salary that goes beyond next season. They're poised right now to have $80 million in cap space, and they're looking at several All-Stars that we've talked about, including Luka Doncic, eligible to become a free agent that summer. And he would be eligible for a five-year, $346 million deal after making the All-NBA team last season. That's what the Mavs will be able to offer after next season. Other teams would be able to offer 4 years and roughly $250 million. So one less year and like $95 or $100 million less. I think Miami is one of those teams that when they're lining up, there's a certain appeal to that. And Pat Riley's really, really good at team building. Like if I was Luka and we had won a championship then, I would probably be thinking going to Miami is a great opportunity to take that next step in my career. Plus, I get to be in Miami, you know, and it just seems so in line with his European playboy sort of personality.
Yeah, his buddy Goran, the Dragon Dragic, was there for a while and I would imagine would be saying nice things. But you're leaving a lot of money on the table. How hungry are you for a championship, really? How far away do you think you are with the Mavs to leave that level of dollars on the table to go to a place where they're also, I mean, it's also known that the Heat are, like, with the culture stuff that they have, Spoelstra's not messing around.
More no-nonsense.
Yeah, super no-nonsense. Talk about, like, body fat percentage and stuff. Like, you're not going to get away with the same stuff. And so, at that point, maybe he's so hungry for a title that he's interested in that.
Yeah.
Or that's like, I'm going to leave $100 million on the table or whatever so that I can...
Yeah, and from what I've heard from his sort of way of going about things here with the Mavs, he wants an organization that's going to cater to his comforts and what he wants.
Right.
You know, not dictate this is our way and this is how we're going to get to a championship, which might have contributed to LeBron James leaving there. You know, you have to acknowledge as well, at least at this point, the Mavs roster is significantly better built out with complementary players. You know, I know in Miami there's Bam Adebayo, there's some other nice young players,
Hero.
But the combination of wings that can play defense and create, and then the two bigs with Lively and Gafford, I would have to give, you know, at least at this point, the tip of the cap to...
The Heat do have Khalil Ware, who is a rookie big man, who's a floor stretcher, who's really, like, he's the favorite to be rookie of the year right now with the way that he's been playing. So maybe over the course of the next couple of years, he becomes a guy but that's stretching it quite a bit.
Yeah. And there's no reports that Luka wants to leave. I mean, in 2024, remember the Tim McMahon report that maybe Luka could want to leave if they don't start winning, but then they went on a run to the finals. That was like before their post-All-Star break.
Things would have to be so bleak. And Nico is not the type of guy to let this roster just get terrible.
No.
Like, he's clearly super proactive. He understands the mission. And I feel like Luka is going to feel like, even if they hadn't won one yet, he's consistently being put in position to succeed.
That was a fun conversation with the Shrine Bowl guys, though. I used to work at this major hotel chain. I think it was my third job. and I'd set up banquets, and then I worked my way up to serving at these banquets, which was a disaster. It was much better just to set them up and then go goof around for a couple of hours while the old people got drunk and danced and stuff. But we would do these Shriners events. I don't know if it's the same deal, but these guys knew how to have a good time with their burgundy jackets and their hats with the tassel. And they'd be throwing tens and tens of thousands of dollars around for auctions to help kids and stuff like that. Sure. So
that's awesome.
I always think of those guys having a fun time. I hope they do the same tonight. Okay, top 10 at 420 coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Oh, my gosh. It's Brian Broaddus' favorite day, National Croissant Day.
Oh.
It's croissants. I know you love a croissant. Best breads. What are your favorite types of breads on National Croissant Day? Is croissant in your top 10? That's next.
Yeah, buddy. Time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or loved ones injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H. Your Woolly Bully.
Happy National Croissant Day. Top 10 types of breads we'll get to in just a moment. 877-881-1053. What's the type of bread you just cannot say no to? Oh, my gosh. That's piping hot right out the oven. Go ahead and give me a slice of that. Good news for Max Scherzer. He's now officially a Toronto Blue Jay. Thank you for everything, Max. We love you. You're forever a 2023 World Series champ. Max Scherzer going to get $15.5 million guaranteed from the Blue Jays. It's going to raise his career earnings to north of $390 million now.
Jeez.
Top earnings through 2025 in Major League Baseball history. A-Rod still at the top, $455 currently. Verlander, $409. Miguel Cabrera at $393 and Max Scherzer at $390. I know there's some that are like, well, what about Juan Soto? What about Shohei Ohtani? This is just through 2025. I'm sure if you give this another few years, they'll end up being at the top of this thing. But my gosh, $390 million throughout his career. It's a pretty good life there for Max Scherzer and a lot of success. A lot of success.
Yeah.
This was an interesting one that I saw Ken Rosenthal's reporting.
Real quick on Scherzer. I think Dawson, remember we were at training camp with the Cowboys when that went down, right?
It was a lot of fun.
And I think you were the only one that were like, we shouldn't do this. I remember you like you were like, no, this guy's going to be hurt guy. We're going to spend a lot of money, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to give you credit for like saying that. Like
anytime they bring in a pitcher, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we're all like, kinda yeah, like, let's Max Scherzer, yeah, here we go. Here. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you get a World Series out of it and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, it worked out.
It worked out.
And the Mets took the majority of that salary, so the Rangers really
didn't
get screwed.
I do remember Dawson going, I don't know about hurt guy. I don't know about hurt guy here.
I did that with DeGrom, too, and I think I was more right with DeGrom so far. I'm hoping to be proven wrong this year.
You are so far. We got to hope he goes on that Cy Young year this year. Yeah. If he never gets that, then ultimately this was not successful. But luckily you did win with Scherzer a championship. And at 40, I mean, he turned 40 years old.
Yeah.
We'll see what he's able to do with Toronto.
What will you remember him as far as the World Series stuff? What will you remember about him, his career here, with the time he was with
really Rangers? Just gutting out some starts, you know, just fighting through injury. He was really willing to take up whatever role the team needed him to.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the World Series itself, I mean, through that postseason run, certainly was a shell of the Max Scherzer and the version that we've seen be dominant.
Right.
But he did give the Rangers some quality starts during that stretch. So, all in all, I mean, it'll always be pretty cool looking back and like, oh, Max Scherzer was wearing a Texas Rangers uniform and you won a championship with him.
He started twice against Houston, gave up 5 runs in 4 innings in an 8-5 loss, and then gave up 2 runs in 2 2/3 in an 11-4 win.
Yeah.
And then the one start against Arizona where he went 3 innings, gave up 2 hits, no runs. Yeah. And, you know, that was exactly what you needed.
Then you had John Gray slide in.
That's what you needed there, right?
Yeah, that's what you needed.
So it's totally worth it, though, for the Rangers then, right?
Yeah. Well, and the big thing is to the point the Mets of getting the,
yeah,
the, most of the salary.
Right, you're right.
If you ended up having to eat everything, then no, it wouldn't have been worth it.
No.
But you didn't get screwed over on the money that you had to pay him.
He had one great start in the regular season.
And then things kind of went south.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Blue Jays are just flushing $15 million right now. It's been
I was kind of
wondering this is like 3
thing.
Or 4 years in the making.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't
can't been, believe he got 15 million.
I wouldn't have been looking to bring him back.
Max Scherzer, man, he's always going to get $15 million.
It's a big name.
It's just the name, right?
Yeah, that's a name. That's a name, 100%. And he did. I mean, he helped. I'm sure he was able to give wisdom to a lot of the young pitchers on that staff, and maybe that'll help them moving forward. Lance Lynn, who I've always loved and did have success here in Texas, I thought Ken Rosenthal, teams are viewing him as maybe a closer now.
Oh,
I wouldn't mind kicking the tires on bringing Lance Lynn back, see if he can
free agent?
Be a closer.
Big Lance.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I'd be excited about that, possibly. Maybe it ends up not working out, but I'm sure he can't be too expensive
right
now.
But I'm missing, did he do something like late in his, was he, went, he got traded right to the Dodgers?
Yes.
And did something happen at the Dodgers that?
He didn't do well.
Yeah, he went bad.
It wasn't good.
That's what I was thinking.
It wasn't good.
Okay.
But in a closer role, you're just coming in. I need you to get three outs. Like, I don't know if he's got the stamina to go six innings anymore. But, hey, as a closer, why not? Right now, they don't have anybody to fill that role unless it's going to be Chris Martin. All right, let's slide into the top 10 best types of bread. National Croissant Day. Croissant. All right.
I've always been more of a crescent roll guy. Yeah, I think it was just a couple of years ago inside this list that I realized they were two different things.
Oh, the crescent and the croissant?
Yeah. Yeah, the croissant
really
is really just one step away from the cronut. You know, you got to donut it up.
Yeah.
So I think the actual croissant is like an incomplete. You know, it's not that good. It's too airy and flaky. The crescent, especially the Pillsbury ones, have it dominated.
Pillsbury doesn't miss, man. No. I think all their products are really, really outstanding. The Doughboy gets it. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, he's one of the best. He really is the true mark of consistency. I do love the croissant, though. I'm here for it in every
flaky, flaky. Yeah, yeah. Did I say flaky?
You did.
Yeah, it's light and flaky.
But I like that. I like that.
It's a vessel for nothing but butter. That's it.
If you're just a one-trick butter pony,
it has no value for holding anything other than a little pat of butter.
Yeah, I mean, I've had myself some tuna croissant sandwiches before.
Thank you.
Croissant sandwich. You can buy them at the grocery store right now.
Just kind of a messy, wet sandwich.
A nice breakfast sandwich with some eggs and bacon.
Yeah.
Or some eggs and sausage on a croissant.
Yeah. It's nice and wet and kind of, yeah.
It's not wet.
I mean, a bagel's better. An English muffin is better.
Preach, you know? Dawson.
I think there's just a lot of things that
are better than a croissant.
Tuna melt, whatever.
You can have a croissant sandwich. I think that's just not, it's not a good take by yours when it comes to croissant.
Nice ham and Swiss.
It's flaky.
I can see that. I wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah, you would.
You know, if I'm power ranking.
Yeah, mayonnaise on it, we would.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't need one.
All right. Okay, now we're going to add a condiment on there to get him on your side. This is ridiculous. Lucius, can you tell Brian he's wrong about the croissants?
He's not going to be our ally on this.
Lucius, whenever he gets back on the mic, I need help. I need support with the croissant.
He's not a bread guy. I don't think he's going to be anybody's ally.
He's not
going to
like
ally.
A croissant like if he had to eat a piece of bread?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've learned to have a new appreciation for bread. So my wife's gluten-free.
Huh.
It's very difficult to get good bread that is gluten-free. And Spitzy down the hallway, Gavin Spittle, knows this. And he has pointed me in the direction of some, like, okay, passable gluten-free. Like, the against-the-grain pizza that he recommended, very, very good.
Solid slice.
But anytime I'm, like, solo, I'm going and I'm getting a bunch of rolls at Texas Roadhouse.
You're getting the real thing.
You know,
get
I'm
the
like,
frozen ones. They will not let you down.
And I got to get my fix of some bread.
Do you take her to like the Texas Roadhouse just so you can get rolls?
We did do that a couple of weeks ago, and I was able to see
how many rolls you have?
My daughter. I had two, and then my daughter had about half of a roll. I was really proud of her.
Huh.
First time ever with that. Butter got all over her face. It was absolutely adorable. So it was a great moment for me.
So you ate 2.5 rolls because you ate the other half of her roll.
You know, and if you're really counting me, then yeah, Brian.
I am. I'm watchdogging.
Accountability.
I'm watchdogging. I'm just making sure.
How many rolls did you have? Well, I also had a nice slab of ribs as well, Brian, if you must ask.
Did you use the rolls to sop up the sauce of the ribs?
Of course, you use the rolls to slop up the sauce.
Just
why
trying
you
to
ask questions.
You know the bloody answer to Brian.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of your love for bread. That's all I'm trying to do.
I believe Brian is on record saying he hates it when people ask a question they know the answer to.
Perry Mason. Did you kill the man? I killed the man, Perry.
Of course I didn't. Mm-hmm. Texas toast has to be top three. The Texas Roadhouse rolls probably deserve their own category.
I do love that.
Hawaiian rolls, French toast. Okay.
Cheddar rolls.
And French bread.
French bread. You like a baguette? See, that can be a little hard sometimes.
Your teeth are going to have to really come to play.
Yeah. Honorable mentions, we've got cornbread.
With the baguette? You know that's true.
Baguettes are—they can be hard. I could probably break somebody's face with a baguette.
Pull your dentures out.
Better than that weak ass stuff you're trying to eat with that croissant.
The Tolos are—they're vouching for the croissant. They're saying, Brian, your deadbolt's wrong on this one, sir.
I get if the croissant's not.
You can't look at me and tell me I'm wrong.
Right? It's not an uppity.
to talk down on the highfalutin is pretty insane.
My gosh, on its own day.
Give me some sourdough.
You're sourdough guy.
I'm a sourdough.
Yes, sourdough's going to be very high.
Sourdough is everything.
Challah is a good one, right? That's a nice honorable mention. It is phenomenal bread.
Yeah.
You've also got the crouton. That's an honorable mention. People love their croutons. How about focaccia bread? I just like saying the word. I don't know what the hell it is. Focaccia?
I feel like you got to be careful.
It's got herbs and stuff on it. It's kind of herby.
That's
herby
what makes
bread.
It.
A denseness to it that's just not the best. I mean, go with Texas toast.
Okay.
Whatever you're putting with focaccia, do Texas toast.
Mm. Brioche, honorable mention.
You know I'm right, Brian.
I know you're.
As is the pita and the tortilla.
Tortilla over pita. You know, I think pita is good to go if you're like counting calories. Maybe you're on a diet. You want a sandwich. You're going to go with a pita pocket instead of the
full
bread.
There you go. Now that's when you put tuna and stuff in that thing.
Oh, see, that's going to just like burst out all the sides and stuff.
Not happening,
this is a guy that doesn't eat a lot of tuna.
No. It all is very contained, and that's why it's called a pocket, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the pocket's a thin pocket.
Oh, thin pocket. What kind of pita did you buy over there?
I don't know. Are you with the Jewish guy on pita bread? That's fine. Number 10 is breadsticks, coming in at 10. Who doesn't love a good garlic breadstick?
Yes. I mean, just garlic bread in general.
Shout out.
Texas toast,
something
like that.
The Olive Garden, I think, has the best breadsticks I've ever had in my life.
I'm with you on the breadsticks.
Pillsbury makes a nice breadstick, too, though. Pillsbury does,
yeah. Pillsbury undefeated. They continue to be fantastic. Mm. Focaccia is ciabatta's cousin.
Yeah.
And another person, 469 focaccia, is overpoofed sourdough bread.
Okay.
It's overpoofed.
The overpoof?
Overpoofing.
Nine is ciabatta.
That's good. You know, cool cuts on that is not a bad call.
Like a good ciabatta roll.
Best thing you've said today, Ryan.
Like a jack-in-the-box ciabatta sandwich, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight, banana bread. Should be higher.
Ooh.
Banana bread. And I know Lucius will get in on some banana bread. That he will.
He walked away from this. He walked away from this.
He's like, this is too unhealthy for me.
He's
trying to determine why Carter's getting out of here 25 minutes earlier.
He's fighting the printer issue.
He's upset. It's okay, Lucius. You fight the good fight. They ask you to do too much over there. Seven are biscuits.
Heck
biscuits
yes.
Biscuits and gravy's like,
that's way too low for biscuits.
Yeah, really.
Six is a bagel. Five's the croissant. Four, and we got some people texting this in, non-bread.
Non.
Oh, the non.
Also
non.
A problem.
No, so amazing.
Non. Think about this.
Good dipping bread.
It's a phenomenal dipping bread, and not a lot of places will do like gluten-free non.
Mm.
So now I've got to sacrifice. Like, do I want to get the non, rub it in her face?
Of course you do. That's her choice.
I've done it every once in a while, but sometimes I feel like I've got to be a supportive husband, and I pass on the non.
Soft? Did you say soft husband?
That's pretty amazing, dude.
Supportive. Maybe it makes
all your
me soft.
Indian dishes, right?
Once a week, dude. Guess what she wants tonight?
Naan.
Yeah. Pad Thai.
Naan gonna get it because I ain't getting Indian food tonight.
Why not? What are you gonna load up on?
I got to do something different, dude. It's getting too much. I'm kind of Indianed out.
Just do the thing where you stop off somewhere on the way home and you eat in your car, and then you're just like, honey, I don't know, my stomach hurts. Just get whatever you want. I'm good. But you've already crushed.
She has a way to know. She knows. Like, I don't know if I have a tell. She knows now every time.
It's
and
all
I outed myself on the radio, and she was listening.
Wait, she calls you out for coming home and having, like, some cheeseburger breath?
Yes, she can tell. So now I just
that's the thing. You got to be careful. Like, the grease on your lips, you got to get a good wipe.
Shirt.
You got to have napkins.
Dang it, Brian.
You got a napkin bibbit in the car. All you have to take all the precautions.
You know, honey, I'm trying to cut a few pounds, and Elson, there's this grease, cheeseburger grease all over your shirt.
I got myself a salad on the way home, honey. I was trying to be healthy.
You have to be detailed. Oriented if you're going to try and sneak a cheeseburger past the wife goalie.
My man was.
You got to hide it in the recycling and wait till she goes to sleep, then sneak out.
My man.
I tried that once.
No.
And it didn't work.
No.
You pull
up at the nearest gas station, hammer home the meal, and then dispose of the evidence there at the gas station.
No, that's you know,
that thing
good.
Never
that's
even
smart.
Reaches your property.
That's smart. The baguette is three. Sourdough bread is two, but number one best types of bread on National Croissant Day is garlic bread.
Yes.
Comes in at number one.
And if it's cheesy, even better.
Mm. Absolutely. Thank you, Will Chuck. Top 10 at 420 every afternoon here in the G-Bag
Shut
Nation.
Shut up, Brian.
Okay.
You can take the top 10 tomorrow.
Rim session.
Will, you're not here.
I'm taking the day off.
Let's talk some more basketball, Chief. What do you say?
Yeah. We got a Mavs victory. We got a Wemby stat of the day, and we grade the athlete meal deal next here in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now to get some more basketball content in here. Are you going to talk about Troy Aikman's thoughts on gambling coming up in the Finest? You see the story?
I did see it, but I didn't have it down.
He says the NFL owes it to fans who gamble on football to make sure the refs make the right call since money's on the table. And he says, we got to fix this. We got to address it in the off season. You know, I think a lot of these calls are going to be very difficult to get right. I don't want to over officiate the game. I want to speed up the game. You know, I think, though, the video that I retweeted today, and you can see it at Gavin Dawson, of the five different spot calls that went against the Bills. One of them was an 11-yard gain for a first down. The announcers are like, and there's another first down. And they bring it back five different times. The play before Josh Allen's, sneak through that was denied. It looked like Kincaid might have lunged over the line. There were two James Cooks plays and Amari Cooper play. I hope that one is there, because that seems like something that technology could get a lot better. I mean, the official trying to eyeball it and then run 30 yards into the middle of the field and put it down exactly where he thought it was is just pure insanity. Here's Brian.
No, I saw my life go before my eyes from the press box. You know, like, okay, we're close. Ball goes in, ref's running. Oh, I mean, I'm like, now we're not close.
I mean, big guys are getting up, totally obscuring
his
view.
The officials
He's moving around left to right, and then he's coming back and guesstimating on this. You kidding me?
Yeah, no, you're going to be right. You're going to be pitching, a few inches off either direction.
They're pitching that ball around. They're like they've got no care in the world. We're in the box, just dying. Like, this is going to be a good 2 feet, guys. This is not going to be close. You know, just because. You know, official pitched the ball to another official who's looking at an official who's doesn't put it exactly down where his foot is.
Yeah,
puts it behind it in there,
especially in a game of inches like football.
Exactly, you know, Chief. You know what we're talking about over here.
Claw with your fingernails for that inch.
So much on the line. Here's the Chief to talk some hoop with you.
Yeah, let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer. The G-Bag Nation going all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, and the boys bring home a victory. It was a bit of a nail biter there, thanks to all the turnovers. Mm. And thanks to the Pelicans doing some level of 3-point reining as well. And that was
clinched.
It was good to have the Klay Thompson
Very
game
clinched.
Now. Back to back games. He had 6 threes last night. Quentin Grimes had some nice 3 balls. The 3-point shooting across the board was nice, and you needed it last night because the Pelicans were knocking him down.
I mean, you're up 10 with under 2 minutes to go, and it ends up being a 1-point game. It was terrifying.
Yes.
You know, a little unnecessarily close. But, yeah, they have a lot of guys stepping up, you know, and it's been huge to be able to take advantage of these last couple of games against inferior opponents, giving themselves just a little bit of a cushion now going into a tougher portion of the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, you just feel really, really good about the big picture stuff of all these guys having to contribute. If you can get healthy Luka back and healthy Derek Lively, you really feel good about the opportunity come postseason time. And they're doing just enough right now to keep things afloat.
These are great growth moments. You know, you never want to have your best players out, but seeing how other guys elevate, you're finding out more and more about them. But I think even more important than that, Nico and Jason have done a nice job finding guys that have the right character, that when the star players do come back and the rotations change, they're not going to be bent out of shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You have to have that. A guy like PJ Washington, indispensable with his ability to be a star player on any given night, but one hell of a role player as well when you have all your horses. And if you remember just a few weeks ago, it was, I guess it was 2 weeks ago after that loss to Denver, and we were just crushing Gafford. You had DeAndre Jordan soaring through the sky throughout the night.
I mean, they only played him like 21 minutes on the night Lively got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
he was getting embarrassed, and he called himself out after the game for like lack of effort, energy, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And in the 8 games since then, 19 points, almost 11 rebounds, 2.5 assists per game. And his efficiency, you know, 73%. He's just a dunk monster. But the offensive rebounding yesterday between him and PJ Washington, that was beautiful.
It could turn into a situation like when Denver had Jokic and Nurkic, that your backup center is just balling so hard that you owe it to yourself to trade him, you know? if Gafford continues like this for the next 2 months, Lively doesn't make it back for the playoffs, and you're sitting in there in the offseason, like, what's the best way to make the most of your roster and potentially balance it? You'd have to consider moving him because some of the offers could be insane.
They absolutely could be. I mean, you have to be open-minded about everything right now if you're Nico, and keeping the big picture and the right now in mind. Walchuk's got his groove on. What's got you feeling so good over there?
Feeling nicey, dude. I just, this isn't really rim related, but I did see that Rangers Hot Stove tonight is going to feature our buddy Dave Raymond and Kyle Higashioka at 7:20. So we'll get our guy's sands on.
That's good. Higashioka. He's a part of my, potential Rangers concession menu items that are on a collision course with the players. You know, the Jake Berger signing got me working a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so at some point when we get to surprise, I'll have my version of what some of these concession items should look like.
Let me guess, the Higashioka tapioca?
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Pudding.
That might actually.
Higashioka hash brown.
That's not bad either.
Hash.
Perhaps it's a Higashiokra situation.
Ooh.
That is going to be there for the taking.
Some okra.
Yes, please.
We love our fried okra, don't we?
Yeah, loaded up at Hurtado.
Absolutely.
It's a great side.
Yeah. Branded Hurtado.
It is a good side.
I was hoping we were going to get the...
If I put in a gumbo, will you guys eat it? Like fresh?
What?
Probably.
Okra?
I'll try it. I tried fried okra once and I did not like it.
I've only had it as fried okra.
You can put it in like fresh in a gumbo.
I'd be down for it.
It's a little different flavor. I can see Dawson picking around it, though.
You won't know.
I don't mind the okra.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
We're going to do that, then.
Let's do it.
Stat of the day, Victor Wembanyama now has 35 straight games with a block and a three. It's the longest streak in NBA history.
Who's
this? That's amazing.
Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, wow.
No
surprise.
What's
he not doing?
He's just an absolute savage. He was getting pretty testy last night, wasn't he?
I like to see that fire.
He got bumped around a little much in the game last night.
Well, rightly so, right? Yeah. You got to sit at some point. It's like, okay, you're not enough. Enough.
Yeah.
Stand up for yourself.
Yeah, the Euro softness. I mean, each individual has to combat that.
Yeah.
You know, that never really goes away, that particular narrative.
And the young man disrespect from the refs. You know, you're fighting a couple of uphill battles there, but... I think he's just going to have to get used to it. I don't think there's anything he can do about his center of gravity, his frailness.
Yeah,
like
no,
all
for sure.
All career long, that's all you got, is every time you run by this guy, bump him, mm-hmm. Make sure he's feeling it in his lower back. Like, dang, again, yes, again, bro. It's a should be a very physical game down there.
35 straight games with a block and a three. He passes, he's long passed Kristaps Porzingis, who had the previous NBA record, 21 straight games with a block and a three. He's now at 35 straight.
Guess who
is Wemby?
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, it was Kristaps Porzingis.
Ding, ding, ding. Basketball guy of the day.
Okay, but right now,
right now,
the second longest active streak, so you have Wemby, 35 straight, block and a three, and the second longest active streak that's going right now is Brook Lopez with 6 straight games.
Wow.
So,
you could have given me all that.
You
probably wouldn't have guessed Brook Lopez.
I don't think you would have gone Brook Lopez there. Okay, we also have, did you guys see the Timberwolves coach get ejected last night?
I did.
Bradley Beal standing there just like confused as all hell. And apparently,
why is he so angry?
Apparently, Chris Finch, head coach of the T-Wolves, he on the second technical, derogatory comments toward all the officials. Finch referred to the officials as
bags of ass.
that would make
blind
more
as
sense.
S.
He hit him with the very outdated bozos.
You bozos.
That got him thrown?
According to the post game report,
the two minute report,
yeah, the
you can't say bozos,
yeah. Apparently, there were some other profanities that were used.
Oh, effing bozos!
I don't think there was any sexuality slurs or anything like that, but it was a bozo, and that was enough to get him the second technical and thrown out of the basketball game. If that's where we are right now, I mean, how is any of these coaches making it through four quarters? I'm looking at that ref going, come on, dude.
Sometimes you get a quick-tempered ref. You know, maybe he got under his skin. He's looking for an excuse. Maybe he thought he called you hoes instead of bozos. You know? That might do it.
Isaiah Stewart, the menace from Detroit. We almost had another Malice at the Palace, but in Indianapolis last night because it was Pistons, Pacers. Things get super testy. Isaiah Stewart, he's the guy that you remember from a few years ago just trying to.
LeBron?
Was it LeBron? He was trying to attack somebody. He was being held back.
I think it was LeBron.
It was like Marshawn Lynch beast mode in the middle of the court.
He was ready to fight everybody.
He forearm shivered Thomas Bryant to the ground, and then they had to hold everybody back and shoving, and he gets ejected. That dude's insane. He was clowning on Miles Turner for being a Lego guy.
I think he's on the trade market.
He is on the trade market. I saw the morning news actually had him in that Mavs article yesterday.
That's a certified enforcer.
I think he put up his hand like he was shooting somebody.
Yeah, he did the finger guns thing, dude. He is a violent, violent dude. You have to think he had some sort of football background. MMA, perhaps. I don't know, because he's got a violent streak that you don't usually see in basketball. Background. And what do you guys think about this? Grade the athlete meal deal. McDonald's announcing the Angel Reese special.
Hmm.
First ever meal special with a female athlete. This is historical. A historical meal that you have a chance to try. Features a barbecue bacon quarter pounder with cheese topped with a new barbecue sauce. I like the McDonald's barbecue sauce already.
Good start.
And then you get the French fries in the drink. Are you guys here for a barbecue burger?
Yes.
Throw a little barbecue sauce on the burger?
It's not my favorite, but in the absence of ketchup, I'll dabble a little. I don't want to over barbecue sauce it, though.
Yeah, you might want to say, sauce me on the side. Let me dictate this ratio.
You know what's kind of the great thing to do with the quarter pounder? You just say no thank you on the ketchup and mustard. You add lettuce and you add mac sauce. Now you actually have like a good beef patty Big Mac.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is.
And you're getting it fresh. They're always going to ask you to pull forward.
Yeah, because now you've screwed up their usual process.
Like, damn it, okay, this guy's getting a custom thing, but it is.
They charge you a couple bucks extra?
But it's worth it,
no,
right?
No, I'm just saying. I
don't need the extra piece of bread, really, and it's thin patties on that Big Mac.
Exactly. The patty difference is pretty crazy. Like, if the Big Mac was really a Big Mac, they would have those actual quarter pounder.
Yeah.
The double quarter pounder situation going with
them. Sub them out.
Yeah. So, but congratulations to Angel Reese. That's a pivotal moment.
I would think Reese's peanut butter cups with all the holiday stuff they do. I picked up a box of these circle peanut butter or these heart shaped peanut butter cups today. They were outstanding. You know, I would look forward to that if I was Angel Reese. You know, it's more of a natural fit.
You're right.
A home run opportunity.
The fact they haven't already done that is actually.
Yeah.
Like surprising. Reese's marketing team needs to get with it.
That's agent negligence, I believe, on Angel's agent part there. That's a tongue twister. We got to run, Nation. When we come back, in addition to football's finest, Chief, what are we doing today?
OSA should not be the priority, but I do have one for you next.